And now, Ben Bailey.
Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Matthew 7:21, you've got to do the will of God. Hebrews 7, verse 25 and 26, Jesus will save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. You've got to do His will. And Jesus asked a haunting question in Luke 6:46, why are you calling me your Lord and not doing what I say? And so when we talk about walking in love that's in deed and truth, that means I've got to do what the Bible says. You know, to walk in love, you've got to do what the Bible says. And part of that means you've got to test the spirits to see if they're really of God. Look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. And walking in love means not believing everything you hear, but testing it. 1 John 4, verse 1, John says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Well, what are these spirits? Here it is. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. When I'm walking in love, that doesn't mean that I don't ever confront anybody, that I don't take what somebody says and check it by the Bible. Friends, walking in the love of God means that I've got to test what I hear and make sure that it's right. As John said, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Friend, I want you to listen real carefully. Just because someone is a likable person, just because someone may be dynamic and have a good spirit and attitude about them, does not mean they're a servant of God. What this passage is clearly teaching all of us is, don't believe everything you hear. Have the attitude of the Bereans. Here's the best way of doing what John said in 1 John 4:1. Acts 17:11, Paul comes to the church in the area of Berea, and the Bible says these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. That's all John is suggesting, what Jesus taught throughout and what Paul taught. When you hear the word, hear it readily, hear it gladly, and then check it by the Bible. If it's true, the Word of God, believe it because God said it, not because men said it, but don't be so gullible that you believe everything. This is why multitudes of people are going to be lost. Multitudes of people are told, for example, to be saved, all you've got to do is call on the name of Jesus. And that's all. Just come forward and say the sinner's prayer and bow at the altar and you'll be all right with God. And they never check their Bible to see if that's right. Friend, the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. We're never told to do that for salvation. We're never told that belief alone will save. In fact, the opposite's true. James 2:24 says faith alone will never save anybody. All we're trying to encourage you, all John is trying to encourage us to do, is don't believe what you hear. Check it by the Bible and make sure it's right. But you know, walking in love also means not only that I test the spirits, but that I realize the power is in God and His Word. Look at 1 John 4, verse 4. Here's a powerful passage about where we look for power today. John says in 1 John 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, notice, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Who's in the world? John chapter 8, the devil is the prince of the power of the air of this world. He's the one who's ruling evil people, and thus he who is in us, God, is where the power is. God's already defeated the devil. Hebrews 2, verse 14, He's more powerful than him. Revelation 20, 19 and 20, He cast him into the bottomless pit. God has always had power over the devil, and thus walking in love means I realize my power is not in me, it's in God, who is the greatest of all. Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, let your life be without covetousness, for he who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall man do to me? And thus we must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Now, like the message of 1 John 1 and 2, walking in light means that we have to love our brethren. So it's true with the message of walking in love. In 1 John chapter 4, in the section about verses 9 following, John's going to now discuss how that walking in the love of God means that we also have to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice the words of 1 John chapter 4, and look at what John says in verse 21. Walking in love means that I love my brethren. The Bible says, this is the commandment we have from Him, he who loves God must love his brother also. You cannot walk in love and say, I love God, but I wish that fellow over there didn't come to church here. Or I love God, but you know, I really despise that individual who's part of this congregation. Walking in love means you've got to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hebrews 13:1 again says, let brotherly love continue. The second commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12, verse 30 following. And Jesus taught his disciples a new commandment, that you love one another. As I've loved you, that you also love one another. Well, how much did Jesus love them? How did, in context of John 13, did he show his love? Jesus knelt down and washed the disciples' feet and humbled himself. The Creator bowing down and washing the dirty feet of the disciples. That's the example from which John 13, verses 34 and 35 comes. And so, to love God, we've also have to love one another. Now, God's commandments, though, ought not to be a burden to us. It's true that there are some things in Scripture that challenge us. There are things in Scripture that are more difficult for each one of us to do, probably. But the commands of God, commands like walking in light and walking in love, we ought not to view this as a burden. Look at what John says in 1 John 5, verse 3. The Bible says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Rather than being a burden, we ought to view the commands of God as a joy. Rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4, verse 4. And here's why we ought to view them as a joy. If I'm willing to take the Bible and do what it says, then friend, you can have the best life you can ever imagine. God's commands are not a burden. Oh, we've got to get up and go do this today. Or, oh, I've got to watch my tongue today. It's such a burden. No, no, not to be a burden. Because the commands of God give you the best life possible. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Why is it a joy to keep the commands of God? Because I know in keeping those, I've got the abundant life. I've got the best life anybody anywhere could ever live. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, I know that God has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of Him who called me. I know that I can be a godly person, a God-like person, by keeping the commands of God. And I know that in keeping the commands of God, all spiritual blessings are ours in Christ Jesus. The best life, all things to be a godly person, all spiritual blessings. Why would anybody view the commands of God as a burden when actually the commands of God relieve our burden? The Bible says in Psalm 38:4, my sins have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me to bear. Well, how do I get rid of that burden? By obedience to the gospel. If obedience to the gospel relieves my greatest burden, the burden of sin, then surely I ought not to think of God's commands as a burden, but rather a joy. And when we have that mindset, it's going to be our faith that gives us the victory. Notice 1 John 5, verse 4. Leading right into that, John says in verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Faith in the commands of God, faith in walking in the light and walking in love is what helps us defeat, have victory over the world. The world and all that's in it, John said, is going to pass away. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Worldly people, ungodly people are going to burn in the lake of fire. Revelation 21, 8. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. Thus, to overcome that, we have to have our faith. Romans 10, 17 tells us that faith is not just a leap out there into the dark. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is essential, my friend. Hebrews 11, verse 6, the Hebrew writer said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I've got to have faith to please God. It's essential. How do I get that faith? By studying, by reading the Word of God, and in doing that, in studying the character of God, and noting His promises, and noting that God never lies, and His promises are always sure, when I put my stock in that, in the Word of God, and faith in God, that's where the victory is. Now here's the question Jesus asked. Luke 18, verse 8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith? When the Lord comes back, will He find us faithful? Will our faith be the victory? May we have the boldness to do that. You know, my friends, eternal life can only be found by putting our trust in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verses 11 and 12, John says, life is found. Eternal life is found in Jesus. He is the only way men and women can be saved. Acts 4, verse 12, the Apostle Peter said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." If men and women are going to be saved, it has to be by faith in Jesus. John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." Hebrews 7, verse 25, Jesus will save to the uttermost, completely is the idea, those who come to God through Him. Hebrews 9, verse 22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins." Thank God that this man, Jesus, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And so Jesus Christ makes eternal life possible. And friend, here's the good news of the book of John. What's John trying to get across to us? Yes, we've got to walk in light. And yes, we've got to walk in love. When we combine these two ideas, and you do that, you can know you've got eternal life. Look at what John says in 1 John 5, verse 13. This is one of those thematic statements in the book of John. 1 John 5, notice verse 13. John says, "I've talked to you about walking in light, and I've talked to you about walking in love. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in His name." The good news is, if we realize God is the light and we walk in the light and we obey His commands, we love one another, we love God, if we walk in love, realize that God is love, look at what He's done for us, allow that to cause us to live pure lives and to love one another and keep His commandments. If we do those things, John says, you can know you've got eternal life. Friend, Christianity is not the best guess. Christianity is not a possibility. You live the Christian life according to the Bible. I mean without prejudice and without bias. And you do what Scripture says, you can know you're going to go to heaven. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8, 32. Ephesians 5, 17 says, "Do not be ignorant, but understand the will of the Lord." If we study to show ourselves approved, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, if we do the commands of God, Philippians 4, verse 9, then I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm right with God and that I'm heaven bound. Friend, we ask you today, are you walking in light? Have you submitted your will to the light of the world, Jesus Christ? John 8, verse 12, have you obeyed His commands? Are you walking in love? Have you realized the great love that God has for you? And has that love motivated you to obey God's commands, to love other people, and to live a pure life? And is your faith going to be your victory? Friend, we desperately need to be obedient to the gospel so that we can be saved. You can know you're right with God. Do you know that today? If not, why not obey the gospel? Believe that Jesus is God's Son. Repent of those things that you know are not right in your life. Confess the beautiful name of Jesus before men and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. In Acts chapter 2, when they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer was this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. Are you walking in light and are you walking in love? If as a child of God, maybe your life has not been lived as it should, another opportunity has been afforded you to make it right. Friend, may God help each one of us. May we have the conviction of faith and heart to walk in love and walk in light so that one day we can hear these words, "Enter in, good and faithful servant."